And it is 29 minutes after the hour. It's as good as half past the hour on a transcendent Tuesday. We're joined by Dr. Don Clark. Don, a member of the board at Creation Moments, a resident of Garden Valley, Texas, a biochemist, lots of pharmaceutical experience. We've relied on Don to get us through COVID and talk about our immune systems. And he's taught us all about Genesis as well. And for the last, how many weeks, Don? 11?
Oh, I don't know. We started, I think, in December sometime. Yeah.
About a chapter a week, although last time we didn't even finish chapter 11. There is so much there. We're in the book of Daniel, and Don has a tremendous presentation on this. And essentially, you've presented the book of Daniel as the entire history from the time of Babylon to the present time, Gentile civilization. Empires,
yes,
one after
and
one.
It goes to the end of this age. Mm-hmm. So
wow.
Yes, we are in kind of the middle of chapter 11, and we're about, time-wise, we're about 200 BC, and we got Antiochus on the line here.
So this is after Alexander the Great and his four kingdoms that succeeded him after he died, the four generals. And Antiochus represented the Seleucid dynasty, which was under the general Seleucid. And he's now positioned himself as a very powerful king, and he has control over the glorious land, which is Israel, right?
Yes, the glorious land. Whenever you hear that phrase, it is Israel, and the, of course, the house is Jerusalem is the main place. So let's just pick it up on 18 and see where we go. Mm. And we'll just walk through history through Daniel 11. I don't think we're going to get to 12, but we'll get through at least most of the history starting to begin the Roman Empire. So we'll pick it up at 18. It says, afterward, he shall turn his face to the coastlines and shall capture many of them, but a commander shall put an end to his insolence. Indeed, he shall turn his insolence back upon him. Then he shall turn his face back toward the fortresses of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. So Antiochus returns in 196 BC. He turns towards the west, that is the Greece and Asia Minor, to seize Thrace, but in 191 BC, Antiochus was defeated by the Romans.
So he was looking to consolidate his empire at the time.
He was, but he doesn't succeed. And so he was defeated at Thermopylae by the Romans. And he got angry, and so he started taking it out on his temples. Then in verse 20, then shall arise in his place one who shall send an executor of tribute for the glory of the kingdom. But within a few days, he shall be broken, neither in anger nor in battle. So Seleucus the IV, Philopater, taxed Israel heavily. So when it says exactor of tribute, he's taking taxes, and he's heavily taxing Israel to pay tribute to Rome. So after about 12 years of rule, though, he's murdered by the treasurer, who hoped to take over but was out intrigued by Antiochus.
And if anybody's following along, when it says a few days, it really means years, correct? In this context.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yes, it's not, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it's not literal here. You can't necessarily take things in Daniel as literal. They're figurative, and it's a short a few days in a short period of time, because we, you know, in chapter 9, it talks about the weeks, 70 weeks, and those each day of the week is a year. So this is kind of paralleling that terminology, if you will. All right. So in his plays, in whose plays? Well, you know, the Seleucus plays, Antiochus is taking over. In his place shall arise a contemptible person to whom royal majesty has not been given. So this is an outsider who is not liked by a lot of people, and he shall come in without warning and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. He's got a silver tongue, apparently, and armies shall be utterly swept away before him and broken, even the palace of the covenant. So Antiochus IV was held captive in Rome for 14 years, learned some tricks there while he was in Rome. I guess the Romans were pretty tricky. And so he learned some tricks. Then he took over by killing and by much intrigue and flatteries. So he's the kind of the prince of the covenant, probably the term prince of the covenant probably refers to the murder of Onias III, the high priest, in 171 B.C., So as you can see, we're covering some years here, but we're still not flying by like we were in the earlier chapters of Daniel. It's amazing, you know, that Daniel gets this message from the angel, and it is in such great detail that we can go back in history and say, okay, who are they really referring to, and just line up, you know, the pieces as we go along here. And from the time that an alliance is made with him, he shall act deceitfully and shall become strong with a small people. Now, a small people here doesn't mean that we're talking about Lilliputians, the people of Lilliputians. We're talking about a few in number. So there weren't many people that he was became strong with. But at least there were a few. Without warning, he shall come into the richest parts of the province, and he shall do what neither his fathers nor his father's fathers have done, scattering among the plunder and spoil and goods, and he shall devise plans against the strongholds for only a time. So Antiochus robbed rich places in the country. He was after the gold and probably the silver and things. And so he went about gathering riches for himself.
Now, you said just to recap, because I don't want to get lost in this. He was held in prison in Rome for 14 years and then made a comeback.
He did. Uh-huh. He did. He probably flattered his way and lied his way out of the prison.
Bought his way out, probably.
And you know, by this time he's acquired quite a wealth. And what can you do with wealth? Well, you can buy an army. Mm-hmm. And so he is amassing power by his wealth, amassing power for himself. And he shall stir up his power and his heart against the king of the south with a great army. So the king of the south is going to be the Egyptian king. And the king of the south shall wage war with an exceedingly great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for plots shall be devised against him. Even those who eat his food shall break him, and his army shall be swept away, and many shall fall down slain. So after the death of his mother, that is Antiochus IV, mother who was Cleopatra, Ptolemy IV, Philopater, receives the bad news and bad advice, and is defeated. So Philopater, the king of the South, Philippator, Ptolemy the Fourth, Philippator, is given bad advice, and he is defeated. And as for the two kings, their hearts shall be bent on doing evil. They shall speak lies at the same table, but to no avail. For the end is yet to be at the time appointed, and he shall return to his land with great wealth, but his heart shall be set against the Holy Covenant. So we know that the Holy Covenant is Israel, and he shall work his will and return to his own land. So, now, oftentimes you see the language here that these folks, these kings, are evil. I mean, they speak lies. They rule by deceit. They've got evil intentions in their hearts. And you can see the work of the enemy, you know, kind of working through them, trying his best, the enemy, that is the enemy of our soul, Satan himself, trying his best to rule over the world, which is the ultimate goal here. And we're getting to that, but we'll have to wait till chapter 12. So we're talking about Antiochus the Fourth takes Philippator under his wings, but with great deceit. And after pondering Egypt, that is thinking about Egypt and saying, well, okay, I really guess I don't want Egypt. He turns his attention to Jerusalem. So let's see what he does in Jerusalem. So at the time appointed, he shall return and come into the south, but it shall not be this time as it shall not be this time as it was before. For ships of Kittim shall come against him, and he shall be afraid and withdraw, and shall turn back and be enraged and take action against the Holy Covenant.
This has got to be Rome, right? Kittim,
yeah.
I mean, that's the only great navy around, so if it says ships, I think that's the clue there.
Yes, it is. And he shall turn back and pay attention to those who forsook the Holy Covenant. So Antiochus the Fourth could not take Alexandria because of the Roman navy that was there. In Kittim is the people of the Mediterranean, Cyprus in particular. So we got some pretty strong folks there, and Antiochus the Fourth is, pushed back and sees this great navy and kind of runs for the hills. So Antiochus was humiliated. And because of his humiliation, he returned to Syria and looked for someone to blame. And who shall he blame? None other than the Israelites, of course. Forces from him shall appear and profane the temple and the fortress, and shall take away the regular burnt offerings. So which offerings are this? Well, it's the Israelites are offering sacrifices
to God.
So
all along here, there are Jews living in Israel and performing sacrifices in the temple. That this would have been the small, inferior temple prior to Herod's time. So they were living out.
They were trying to live out their the covenant, if you will,
to reconstitute it. Yeah,
yeah, and so, but Antiochus the Fourth has other plans, and they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate, and Jesus actually referred to this, and he shall seduce the flattery. He shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. Okay, so here we are, in history. Antiochus tried to destroy anything dealing with Judaism. So he actually, the abomination that takes that makes desolate, he slaughters a pig on the altar, which is a great abomination. But if that wasn't enough, his final blow, he erected an idol, that is Zeus, an idol to Zeus, in the Holy of Holies on his birthday, which was the 25th of Kislev. So he is making a mockery of the Jewish God, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's making a mockery of God. You know, not ultimately, you know, good's not going to come of this, but God, it's, you know, the last part of the verse there, God's people shall stand firm and take action. Of course, this is the Maccabean revolt, which took 3 years, but ultimately succeeded and cleansed and rededicated the temple, and hence the menorah, I mean, the candle. Stick that
the oil and the
they only
lamps
had
and so forth,
oil for one day, and it lasted for the 8 full days of purification.
Hanukkah.
So that's where we get to the Festival of Lights. And of course, that's this event is called Hanukkah in the Jewish calendar. And it's around, you know, we celebrate that around Christmas time. Some of us celebrate it. I mean, Jews celebrate it around Christmas time.
No, we all acknowledge it. So
yes. So that is, but that's the Festival of Lights, you know, that is celebrated even today. But it was based on this abomination that took place in the temple, and then the ultimate overthrow of Philopater the IV by the Maccabeans. Verse 33, and the wise among the people shall make many understand, though for some days they shall stumble by sword and flame, by captivity and plunder. And when they stumble, they shall receive a little help, and many shall join themselves to them with flattery, and some of the wise shall stumble, so that they may be refined, purified, made white until the time of the end, for it still awaits the appointed time.
Okay, question. Is this now, are we talking about the Hasmoneans, where the kingship, the king and the chief priest were joined as one? It was a time of turmoil, because you mentioned the Maccabean revolt took 3 years. But I understand it took closer to 15 years to really get the Greeks out of there.
Yes, it took a while, yes. Mm-hmm. And so there was some, you know, there was this kind of joining of the priesthood with the army and stuff like this. But this last sentence on 35, some of the wise shall stumble, so that they may be refined, purified, and made white until the time of the end. Well, when is the time of the end? That is to come in chapter 12, for you know, it still waits the appointed time. So this verse kind of summarizes a lot there, and we'll talk about it. I don't know if we're going to have time to start talking about it today. Maybe we will. Mm-hmm. But let's just kind of review where we are here. So we went through in chapter 11. This is just chapter 11 alone, and we're not finished with chapter 11, but we're almost finished. We went through 135 prophetic statements. Can you, 135 prophetic statements. And history, of course, has now verified these prophecies, and it set the stage for what is yet to come. And so what is yet to come? Well, the Antichrist and the first and the second beast must come, as, you know, spoken of in Revelation. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of begins to open up where we are with regard to setting up the time for the coming of the Antichrist. Now, notice what it said in verse 35, that what was the purpose of this? The purpose on verse 35, some of the wise shall stumble so that they may be refined and purified and made white until the time of the end. Okay. Who are they? It is the Israel is they. Okay. So if you really look at this and say, okay, well, when is the time of the end? The purification is the tribulation period. And who is the tribulation period for? It's for the Jews.
Interesting, interesting. There's so much here in Daniel. And what's really amazing is how actual, literal, extra-biblical history can correlate all this, work with it, and make sense of it. I mean, Daniel by itself could be so confusing. And it sounds so ominous, and it sounds so scary, and it is. When you look at the actual history of events and series of real people and real armies and real conquests that have come and gone over the years, that's pretty amazing. I want to mention that Dr. Don is a member of the board at Creation Moments, their website, creationmoments.com, and there you'll find a lot of information scientifically accumulated to explain and teach the biblical story of creation. It's a good place to visit, creationmoments.com. We recommend them wholeheartedly. And Don, we'll pick up again, I hope, next week, because we got one more chapter to go, and it's no less concentrated than this is.
Oh, yes, yes. So, yeah, we're going to turn our attention to the characteristics of the Antichrist. Won't that be exciting?
Right. Don, yeah. Thanks. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Yes, indeed. Bye.